I have a sermon on my heart today that is a mosaic sermon. Not like Moses' sermon, but a mosaic like in a picture. It has many little different aspects to it, and I am going to try and give you, you guys can go ahead and take up the offering. Sorry, I forgot that. If you, I always forget the offering. If you are online, welcome to the online people. We've had a few people come during the week to the church and say we'd like to contribute. And online, you'll see on your screen will be a picture of how you can go. And you can give online if you have a smartphone, you can text it to us, and that might be a way for you to give too. But I want to take just a little brief moment during the sermon to talk about little pieces of a mosaic, and hopefully when we put them all together, it'll frame for you a picture that I think is something of a prophetic whisper of what the Lord's trying to say to us at this time as a church. And the sermon is entitled Rain Drinkers and Fruit Growers. And the first little piece of this is what Jesus basically said: go to his disciples and give what you've got. A little while ago, I was thinking about how little I know. I became aware of how kind the Lord was to me in numerous situations, and I was not aware that a calamity or a drama was on the way, but the Lord had already taken steps for it, and when the drama hit, I became aware of it. Almost simultaneously, I became aware of God's solution for me, and so you have this momentary, oh, wow, and oh, wow, God, how kind are you? And then I was just meditating on that reality that there are so many times in my life where God has got everything under control, and He knows 100% of everything, and I know a tiny fraction of 1% of everything. And so we have these major discussions about God is sovereign and our sovereignty and His sovereignty, and I go, listen, here's my theory on this. God is sovereign over 100%. And He invites me to be sovereign over the piece that I know, which is like less than 1/1,000,000 of 1%. Okay? So we have this, who's sovereign? Well, He's sovereign over everything He knows, and I'm sovereign. He invites me into everything I know. So when God wants me involved in something, He makes it plain to me. And then I go, oh, it means God's invitation to me is to, hey, I'm interested in your opinion on this piece. Does that make sense? So Jesus takes some people and He starts doing something in their lives. And they experience grace and they experience the kindness of God and they experience the revelation of God and they experience the healing of God. And Jesus turns around and He says to them, now, because you freely received this, now freely go and give it. What they had experienced, those 12, was magnificent in the scope of things, but it was one tiny fraction of what Jesus said, I want to do in the earth. And He said to them, I can't tell you anymore. You guys can't handle any more than I've already given you, but the Holy Spirit will lead you into all of this. And so there's this moment where when God opens up something to you and to me and He gives us some measure of an understanding, some measure of experience about something, it means that He's not only inviting you into the blessing and the victory of that moment, but He's expecting you then to administer that victory from then onwards. Matthew 10, as you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. This is what Jesus told them to say. Go into all the towns and say this. Get everybody's attention. Hey, the kingdom of heaven has come near. You go, okay. So then heal the sick and raise the dead and cleanse the lepers and drive out demons. See, there's always more than just a communication. There's a demonstration. Jesus always intended a demonstration to the communication. And then he said this, freely you've received, now freely go and give. Every time God invites you into a moment, every time you experience something, every time we as a church experience something, this is the Lord's invitation to us. Hey, I'm including you in this piece of the pie. Now administrate this. We heard testimony about healing last week. Jenny's sitting there. We administrate the testimony. Jenny says, yes, Lord, she believes, and God blesses her grandmother. If you sit here week after week and you grab on, you're going to start experiencing more and more of what you hear. And you will be one of those who gives testimony. And then it becomes noised abroad in the community. And people start saying, hey, my friend came and got healed at that church. Three or four times in this last month, we've had people visiting. Because that's where stuff happens at that church. Why? Because we're administrating the testimonies. And God, and people going, yeah, I like that. As you go, freely you've received, freely give. Now, you and I both know that in life, there are some people who are great and constant encouragers. Praise God for the encouragers. Thank you. But there's some who are constantly making us aware of our shortfalls. Some people love us. Some people dislike us. Some people believe in us beyond reason. Some people doubt us so they can't see any good in us. Some people like to be near us. Some people don't. They feel awkward near us. Let me ask you, which environment do you like best? So the truth is, I respond better when to encouragers. I respond better to people who love me. I respond much better to people who believe in me. I respond better to people who like being around me. I like the person I am with those people. I don't like the person I seem to become around people who always attacking me. It's harder. It's harder to be who I am around in a different environment. Jesus said, if you've received something, freely received it. You didn't have to pay for it. You didn't have to work for it. God forgave me not because I was good, in that while I was a sinner, he loved me. I received it like that. And he says, now go and give it like that. You received it freely. Go and give it freely. The second little piece I want to talk about, I hope it's going to make sense in a little while. Doesn't matter if it doesn't make sense now. I hope so. Second little mosaic piece I want to talk about is land that drinks in rain. This phrase is used a few places in the scripture, land that drinks in rain. And I want to just talk about this concept. In Deuteronomy, the Lord's speaking to the nation and he says this, the land that you're entering to take over is not like the land of Egypt from which you have come, where you planted your seed and irrigated it by foot as if in a vegetable garden. But the land you are crossing the Jordan to take possession of is a land of mountains and valleys that drinks rain from heaven. It is a land your Lord your God cares for, and the eyes of the Lord your God are continually on it from the beginning of the year to its end. It is a land that drinks in the rain of heaven. Now, in Egypt, Egypt is pretty much a desert, except it's got the massive Nile River. And so the way that everybody waits for the flooding of the Nile, and the irrigation channels run off the Nile into all of Egypt, and irrigation is the big issue in Egypt. But in Israel, there's very few major rivers. And so what in Israel, you don't wait for the river to flow, you wait for the rains to come. Israel as a country was way more dependent on rain, because if it didn't rain, there were no crops. And God promised, I'll send two sets of rain, well, actually three, but two major sets of rains, the former and the latter rains. And they will, he said, when you walk with me, the rains are going to come at the right time, and the rains will be there, and you can sow your crops. The rains will come, and you'll have rich and abundant plenty. And this is part of what the Lord's going to do. And so this idea that there is a design by God of a land, and that God's people on the land and the rain that comes on the land will produce for the people of God because it drinks in the rain and it produces fruit. There's a reciprocal idea there, and that the people of God, as they served God, God would send the rain, the land would produce the fruit, the people would rejoice and celebrate in their God. That's the plan. Third little mosaic piece is Jesus beginning in the height of his popularity, and there is a desire in the people to learn of Jesus, and they come and they go, could you teach us? And so he says, sure. And he begins to teach. And the Bible says he gets into a boat And he taught the crowds, and various, depending on which gospel you read, you'll find Jesus spoke many parables. In one, he speaks 7, and one, he speaks 10, and in all of them, it says he spoke many. And the Mark 4 is the one I want to just touch on just very briefly, because it says in verse 2, he taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching, he said, listen, a farmer went out to sow seed. Jump down to verse 10. And when he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. Because Jesus taught many parables. And the crowd was sitting there listening. And half the time they were like, what does that mean? I don't know. I don't understand about the farm. Is the farmer the same as the fisherman? Who are the birds of the air? What's going on? I don't know. Listen. And the disciples came to Jesus afterwards and they go, can we just ask you about this parable? And Jesus said to them, don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? Because they started with the first parable of the day. And Jesus said, a farmer went out carrying seed to sow. And he sowed some, and Jesus tells this parable. So he tells us, he said, listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering some seed, some fell among the path, and some fell on the rocky places, and some fell on the thorns, and still some fell on good soil. That's the standard. We all know this parable. And Jesus says to the disciples, listen, if you guys don't get this one, you're not going to get any of the others. This is a keystone. This is a foundational stone. This is the cornerstone. If you understand what this is talking about, then the other parables can make sense to you. But if you don't get this one, then the others are not going to make sense to you. Jesus said, if you don't understand this thing, how then are you going to understand any parable? Makes this one semi-important, Ryan. And so the content of that parable is simply this. A farmer, who he calls the father, the seed, he calls his teaching, sowing seed in the world. He said some seed falls on stony ground, path. It's a well-worn, well-trodden path, pushed down, compacted together, and the seed falls on the path, and it's stolen by the birds of the air because it cannot penetrate the hardness of the surface. Some seed falls on rocky places where there is very little soil and it springs up quickly, but the moment there's any heat or any pressure brought to bear, it withers and dies because it has no root. Some falls among thorns and grows up, and the cares and the worries of life choke out the kingdom seed and it dies. And some falls on good soil. Because the sower and the seed are consistent, the variable in the parable is the person who's listening. That means that sometimes in a meeting, Holy Spirit can be speaking a word of beauty and revelation to the church. But the state of my heart and the state of your heart is in focus. I can have the kind of heart that is open and eager and responsive and saying, Lord, sow something in me. Or I can have the kind of stony heart that says, yeah, these people just want my money. They, you know, whatever. I don't trust them. I don't think. Or you can be sitting there with the cares and the worries of life sucking up any kingdom seed that's planted in your life. Or you can let the pressures of life or the burdens or the toughness of your circumstances steal the kingdom seed. Or it can produce 30, 60, and 100-fold every time a seed is sown. There is land that drinks in the rain, that produces fruit. There is a heart that is open and good soil that produces fruit. So I want to talk a little bit about this concept of land that drinks the rain and hearts that produce the fruit. See, I believe the Holy Spirit wants to pour out the gospel of grace, constantly rain on your life, constantly send the rains of his love, the ever the ever-flowing rain of the love of God, the ever-constant testimony of how much He cares for you, the constant whisper by the Spirit of God that He will never, ever leave you or forsake you, this constant whisper by the Spirit of God that you have an intimate connection with the Father. By Him we cry, Abba, Daddy. It's long since the years that my daughter was 5 or 6 years old and she used to cry daddy. But still sometimes in a store, when I hear a little girl cry daddy, I still turn around. It's universal. It still moves me. Still gets me. Daddy! Like I want to fix. Especially if there's an element of fear. I just want to fix it. I just want to help it. And when you cry, Abba, Daddy, Father, still moved. I don't care what your circumstances are. I don't care how tough it looks. You say, Daddy, He's moved towards you. And this is the constant whisper of the Holy Spirit, the constant rain of God, land that drinks in the rain. And you ought to be drinking deep. You ought to know the peace of God. You ought to know the love of God. You ought to drink deep. We produce kingdom fruit by believing the gospel. Jesus said, if you never read the scriptures, the stone the builders rejected became the cornerstone. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom will be taken away from you and be given to those people who will produce its fruit. Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees. He's speaking to the Jewish nation who were rejecting Him as the Messiah. They rejected His words. They would not receive what He was saying into their hearts. And Jesus said, the kingdom is going to be taken from you because you have hardened up your heart. I'm casting seed. It's landing on stony ground. And I'm not going to keep throwing seed on a hardened heart. I'm going to take it away. And I'm going to give the kingdom to those who will receive this and respond, and fruit will come out of their lives. Fruit is expected. Craig, you're putting pressure on. No, I'm not. It's easy. It's light. It's not, I'm going to produce fruit. It's, I'm going to drink in the rain. And it's a natural produce of drinking in the rain. We can't do it by ourselves. John 15, various verses. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes so it will be more fruitful. Verse 4, no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Verse 16, you didn't choose me. I chose you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. We can't do it by ourselves, but there is an expectation of fruit. There is an expectation of fruit. Now let's go to Hebrews 6, because Hebrews 6 is one of those scriptures that people, this is the anti-grace scripture. No, the writer to the Hebrews who's talking to about people is, let's leave, because they were trying to decide, do I cling to Jesus as the way of salvation, or do I cling to the ritual of the temple and the sacrifices of the temple? Do I take the single sacrifice of Jesus once and for all, or do I go back to the constant, because this felt more religious, this felt more secure, this was all they'd known, and so these people are vacillating between, and Paul writes to them, or not Paul, the writer of the Hebrews says, listen, If you're gonna embrace, go back to the temple. If you're gonna forsake, because you've heard this gospel of Jesus Christ, but you're familiar with the temple. If you choose now not to go with the gospel, if you choose, no, I'm going back to the temple. He said, then it's gonna get ugly for you. It doesn't go well because to your loss, you're rejecting the only mechanism of salvation. There remains now no other mechanism of salvation. If you're going to reject Jesus as Messiah, there's no other way for you. This is hopeless. And then he goes on and he says this, land that drinks in the rain often falling on it that produces a crop useful for those for whom it has been farmed receives the blessing of God. But land that produces thorns and thistles is worthless and is in danger of being cursed. In the end, it'll be burnt. Basically saying, if you embrace this whole legalistic, I'm going to make myself better, I'm going to make myself more righteous, I'm going to obey a whole set of rules, and then I will produce fruit. He goes, no, you're just going to produce thorns and thistles. He said, if you embrace Jesus Christ, if you love this beautiful message of the cross, and if you drink in the rain of that, it'll produce fruit for you, and you'll receive blessing. Lastly, comes by faith. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation for everyone who believes. First for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. A righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Let me try and put these little snapshots together. God has chosen an inheritance. You are the soil. You are the land. You're the land that is designed to drink in the rain. You're supposed to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Faith is stirred inside of us when we hear the message about Christ. You're supposed to drink in the message of there is peace between you and God. You're supposed to know His love. You're supposed to not just know it academically. You're supposed to experience His love. You're supposed to marinate in it. You're supposed to be so convinced of the love of God for you that you'll never, ever doubt it again. He promised, I'll never leave you, ever. It's the most definitive statement in the New Testament, bar none. I will never, ever, assuredly, not ever, ever leave you, ever, ever. Ever. You're supposed to settle this in our hearts. We're supposed to drink in the rain that falls on the land, because it's the only way that we can produce the fruit. Fruit does not come through self-effort. Fruit comes when we soak and marinate in this gospel. But there is an expectation that when you and I drink in the rain of this gospel, that I need to produce fruit. As I receive it freely, I need to freely give it. Now, let me bring this to a close. When God brings salvation to your life and to mine, when God shows us kindness, when He shows us extreme patience, oh, I echo with Paul. In order that in the coming days we might marvel at the unbelievable, extravagant grace that was shown to me. When my number comes up in heaven and you guys all witness and the Lord speaks about my life, all you're going to be amazed at is how kind He was to me. You're going to be like, how God, Jesus, how kind you, oh, look at, there goes, how gracious you were to Him, look at that. Oh, how patient you were again, Lord. And I suspect it's going to be like that with you. To the praise of His glorious grace, Ephesians says. But we are the land that drinks in the rain. And there is an expectation that we demonstrate the fruit of the kingdom. This is more than just, hey, let's just drink and go home and be happy. This is freely you've received. Now freely go and give. These community groups is an opportunity. Have you received the love of God, the kindness of God, the patience of God? Has He had to bear with you through anything? Freely you've received. Now freely go and give. Go and love people. Go and encourage people. Go and have hope. Go and bless people. Go and believe in people. I thought that's what you and Tom were paid for. No. No. Freely you've received. And I want to encourage you. Drink in as much as you can. Be greedy. Drink deep. Land that drinks in the rain from heaven is able to produce harvest that bless the people of God. And for this, to this end, for this purpose, the Holy Spirit wants to rain on you. Jesus was in a crowd. Okay, let me I've got 2 minutes. Let me finish. Jesus was ministering. Can you imagine what it's like? I don't know if any of you have been in a place where a real miracle has occurred. Somebody's in a wheelchair or somebody's blind and they see. And then just the emotion around that, just the reality of that moment. We were in a meeting where a woman was born blind. Her eyes were open when she came out of the waters of baptism. Just the emotion around that. Just you get into bed that night, you go, exhausted. Because you spent, because it's cost you something just to be there. Jesus was doing thousands of miracles a day. And he said, something, power left me. He felt it when the woman placed a demand, when she had faith and she touched the edge of his robe, he felt it leave him. Yes. If you're going to be somebody who produces fruit and gives out, you need to be somebody who learns to drink in the rain. If you're going to be giving out thousands, you need to be drinking thousands. You cannot do it any other way. And so the moment you start talking about more fruit, about loving more people, bearing with more others, serving other people, encouraging other people, then it costs you a little bit more drinking of the rain. I need to get clearer on the gospel. I need to be surer about how much he loves me. I need to know the peace with God. I need to be free from condemnation. I need to not be bowing down to fear. All of this comes in the secret place of me drinking in the rain. Then I step out into the public arena and I can produce the fruit effortlessly that I learned because it rained here. And it fruits there. I'm a rain drinker and a fruit producer, and it's effortless. In this room, residing in you, are miracles and encouragement and life transformations and love and comfort and peace with God, if you would but just share it. Freely you've received, freely give. And those community groups are one expression of how you can do that. I'm going to close in prayer. I'm going to ask Tom to come up and explain to us about those groups and how you can sign up. But I'd encourage you, if you can possibly do that, go. Go and give back. Go and give freely. In those groups, love people unashamedly, encourage more than you think, believe more than they deserve, hope in a way that would make God proud. Homework for you personally, I dare you. The land that the Lord loved, the land he looked upon with favor, was land that drank in the rain of heaven. God said, I like them. When I speak, they listen. When I love them, they respond. When I sow seed, they go, wide open, Lord. Let's pray together. Father, we want to be land that drinks in the rain. We want to be soil that is good soil. And what can we say, Lord? We're not ashamed of this gospel, Lord. It's the power of God for our complete salvation. Because the righteousness comes to us, Lord, that is by faith from the beginning right through to the end. There's no effort, Lord, in it. There's no self-effort. There's just faith. And we dare to believe, Lord, in your kindness and in your majesty and in your perfect salvation. And we drink in that rain, Lord. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that you'd use us to bear forth much fruit for your kingdom's sake and minister to many, many people in this place. In Jesus' name.